Kovac looked at the boy. Why don't you get your dad a glass of water? Liska followed him down the hall. Kovac knelt down on one knee by Wayne Haas's chair so he could see the man's face more clearly.
You're sure you don't want to go to a hospital?
Just go, Haas whispered. Just go away from here.
I'm sorry we upset you like that, Kovac said. There's sometimes this job sucks, and this would be one of them. But the questions have to be asked. If we don't touch all the bases, a case can get dismantled. You've seen for yourself. The system isn't there to help guys like you or cops like me.
I just want this all to be over, Haas said. I wish I'd died that day, too.
You've got a son to live for. Haas just hung his head. Bobby Haas and Liska returned then, and the son handed the father half a glass of water. Liska gave Kovac a look and nodded toward the door. They stepped out onto the porch, and Kovac drew the door shut behind them.
The kid's gonna get our answer and come out here, Liska said. I figured that would be a hell of a lot easier than us making the guy stroke out before our very eyes.
What does Junior have to say for himself?
He hung out with a buddy after school and they went to a basketball game tonight. He's worried about his dad, says his health isn't good, the stress of it all is taking a toll on him.
Poor bastard,
Kovac murmured, digging a finger in an inside coat pocket.
Jackpot.
He pulled out a cigarette and rolled it between his fingers like he was rubbing a rabbit's foot for luck.
What about the boy? How's he holding up?
He's rattled. Could be because of his father. Could be because of us. He's 17. He has a penis. Definitely qualifies him for being stupid enough to mug a judge.
Kovac cut her a look of annoyance.
Don't take your shitty love life out on me, Tinks. You ought to know better than to go out with a lawyer.
Just shows how desperate I am, she muttered, scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Nah, you haven't dated me yet.
Maybe I should. You're the only guy I know who returns my calls.
She flicked a glance at his hand. Didn't you quit smoking, like, 3 hours ago? Kovac scowled.
3 days, and I'm not smoking it.
Liska craned her neck to get a peek into the living room to see what was going on between the Haas men. Wayne Haas was still in the chair, with one hand covering his eyes, the other grasping Bobby's shoulder. The son patted his father's knee, a very adult gesture of reassurance.
All things considered, the kid seems pretty well adjusted, she said blandly. I'm sure that means he's seriously screwed up.
Who isn't?
Speak for yourself, I'm a pillar of mental health.
Right, Kovac said, looking at the cigarette. Me? I'm fucked up and proud of it. I worked hard to get to this level of neurosis.
He's coming out, Liska whispered. Bobby Haas slipped out the front door and onto the porch, careful not to let the old screen door bang. He was a nice-looking kid, with a head of soft, dark, curling hair and earnest brown eyes. In no way did he resemble his father. Where Wayne Haas's face had been cut from stone with a rough chisel, the boy's face was smooth and soft, with small, almost feminine features. He had the lean build of a cyclist and stood 3 or 4 inches shy of 6 feet. The boy had discovered the bodies of Marlene and the foster children just moments before Wayne Haas had arrived home from work. By the accounts of the uniforms who had responded to the scene first, and later Stan Dempsey and his partner, Bobby had refused to leave the house, refused to leave his father. He had stayed on the front porch for hours as the forensics people and the medical examiner's people went in and out, carrying evidence, rolling out the body bags. Bobby Haas had stayed on the front porch, crouched in a corner, sobbing and retching, rocking himself with his arms banded around his knees, inconsolable, terrified. The advocate from Victim Services had sat beside him, trying to calm him, trying to convince him he needed to go with her to the police station. Finally, he had been taken to HCMC for his own protection and stayed the night, sedated in a bed in the psych ward, where he was kept under observation for the better part of a week.